In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Nathanael is someone we meet only twice in Scripture. Nathanael's story, the story that we hear today, is part of the very first chapter of John's Gospel. And then Nathanael is not mentioned again until chapter 21, the very last chapter of John's Gospel. In between, Nathanael is never mentioned again. But the question that Nathanael asks Jesus this morning, it is this question that lingers. It lingers like an echo through every single verse of John's Gospel. This morning we hear that Nathanael is moved by Jesus. He's only just met Christ, but it is clear to Nathanael that Jesus is no stranger. And he turns to Christ and he asks in wonder, "Lord, how is it that you know me?" Christ surprises Nathanael. Nathanael is dumbstruck. "Lord, how is it that you know me?" Now, there are some answers to this question that Jesus chooses not to give. "How is it, Nathanael, that I know you?" "Well, I am the Son of God. I know everything." He could have wowed Nathanael. He could have impressed the mind of Nathanael. "I have 2 terabytes of information about you on my iPad. I know every fact and figure that there is about you. I can number the hairs on your head. I know how many times you have accidentally eaten a bug. I know the date and the manner of your death. Or I'm very close to the angels that watch over you. Everything that they know, I know." He could, but he doesn't respond this way. Christ is not a heavenly spy in the business of surveillance and wiretapping. That kind of God is a creepy God. And heaven is not a version of the National Security Agency, where Christ and his angels just sit around and kind of keep tabs and make notes. "Lord, how is it that you know me?" Again, the answer to this question is not achieved by Jesus by reaching out to Nathanael and blowing away his mind. Rather than impress the mind of Nathanael with some circus trick, Jesus reaches out and makes contact with his heart. Christ says to Nathanael, "Before Philip, your friend, called you, while you were still under the fig tree, I knew you." And this is all that Nathanael needs to hear. This is the response that seals the deal for Nathanael the skeptic. "Rabbi," he says, "truly you are the Son of God." And Christ's response to Nathanael may not seem so very impressive to us today. "When you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Jesus uses a figure of speech chosen specifically for Nathanael, one that's easy for us to miss. To be under the fig tree is an image that was used to describe someone who studies Torah, someone who studies Holy Scripture. It is the classic image of a rabbi or of a scholar who teaches others, not in a classroom, but out in the open, who teaches others outside, beneath the shade of the leaves of a fig tree. And this is Nathanael. Simply put, Nathanael reads his Bible. Nathanael is someone who hungers and thirsts for God. He does not simply read Holy Scripture to pass time. He reads Scripture to find life. This young man from a backwater town, he's not a rabbi. He's not terribly educated. But he knows one thing. He knows that Scripture is the place where God can be found. And so when Jesus says to him, I saw you beneath the fig tree, he is telling Nathanael his search for God has come to an end. Truly, you are the Son of God. And if this were the end of the story, then the Gospel of John, chapter 1, would easily win the Oscar. It's that dramatic. But it's not the end of the story. It's chapter 1. It's the beginning of the story. And we know that Jesus turns to Nathanael and he says, do you now believe? Well, get ready, because the journey is just beginning. Nathanael has struggled with God in the pages of Scripture, and now Nathanael will begin his struggle with God in the flesh. Jesus says to him, you will see greater things than these. Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Nathanael now becomes the New Testament Jacob. Jacob, he's the grandson of Abraham in the Old Testament. Jacob, who wrestles with an angel until the angel gives his blessing. Jacob, who has a famous dream of a ladder which joins heaven and earth, full of angels moving up and down, a dream now spoken of by Jesus to Nathanael. And to him, Jesus says, you will see that ladder. Nathanael is now the New Testament Jacob, the one who also struggles with God in the flesh. He is the one who struggles now to walk with Christ, to be Christ's disciple. And Nathanael, the New Testament Jacob, will witness the fulfillment of the Old Testament dream. To Nathanael and to all of those like him, to you and to me, Christ will be that ladder. His cross will be the wood that once again joins us to God. Christ promises Nathanael that he will see God give himself in love for the life of the world. He will witness a cross that will destroy all division and that will once again unite heaven and earth. These are the greater things promised to Nathanael. And these are the greater things promised to us and to all who struggle to walk with God who now dwells with us, not just in the pages of Holy Scripture, but in the flesh. Christ says to Nathanael, and he says to you and to me, now that you have found me, and now that I have found you, walk with me. Let us move through this gospel, through my gospel. Walk with me from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 21. Walk with me through Galilee. Walk with me through Cana. Walk with me through Bethany. Walk with me on to Jerusalem. Pick up your own cross. Follow me. Follow me to the upper room. Follow me to the Last Supper. Follow me to the garden. Follow me to the praetorium. Follow me to the cross and to the tomb and to the resurrection on the third day. And Nathanael, we know, says yes. Nathanael follows Jesus. But curiously, we never hear from him again. Not until the very end of John's gospel, in those days after the crucifixion of Christ. On that last page, we hear that Nathanael has returned to fishing. He's back in his boat. He's with Peter and James and with John. And there's a great catch of fish after a long night of struggle. And following the great catch, Christ himself, just a few days after his own resurrection, Christ greets them on the shore. And he invites Nathanael and the others to eat with him right there on the beach. It's a beautiful verse. He says to Nathanael, come and have breakfast with me. Come and have breakfast with me. No miracles. No circus tricks. Scripture says that Jesus, the risen Christ, prepares a charcoal fire. It says that in John's gospel. And he offers to his disciples some bread and some fish prepared with his own hands. hands marked with the scars of nails. This is how the story ends for Nathanael. And this is how the story ends for all those who follow Christ. This is how the story ends for all of those who struggle with God, for those who hunger and who thirst for God, and for all of those who seek God. Those who seek Christ are always welcomed by the Master. The Master finds us and he greets us. And heaven is opened to us. And heaven is open to us no matter where we may be. Church, this building, can become heaven. Home can become heaven. The classroom and the boardroom, the living room, these all can become heaven. Even the sandy shoreline by a humble fishing village at daybreak becomes a banquet table in the kingdom of God. This day, seek the Lord, who already sees you. Follow Christ this day to the chalice. Follow Christ and you will see that he already knows you, that he calls you by name. Follow Christ and like Nathanael, we all too will see greater things than these. Amen.